Welcome to the KPFA local station board. Today is May 20th, 2026. I'm Carol Woofley, chair of the board, and we will now proceed to roll call.
All right. Rabab Abdul Hadi. Rabab. Emma Auer. Emma Auer. Virginia Browning. Virginia. Donna Carter.
Present.
Donna, present. Michael Cheng.
Here.
Present. Michael is present. Cheryl Davila. Cheryl Davila?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Present.
Fred Dodsworth?
Present.
Fred, present. Anthony Fest?
I'm here.
Anthony is here. Sherry Gendelman?
Present.
Sherry, present. Christina Huggins? Christina? I think I see you, but... Are you on mute, Christina? Nunu Kadani?
Present.
Nunu, present. Zach Kalbir?
Here.
Zach is present. Carlos Cohan?
Present.
Carlos, present. Steve Kukala?
Present.
Steve is present. Colleen Mast? Colleen Mast? Kathy Pico? Kathy Pico? Allegra Thompson?
Here.
Allegra is here. Andrea Turner?
I recall last week she said you wasn't going to be able to make this week.
Oh, okay.
Right.
And Stan Woods?
Present.
Stan is present. Steve Zeltzer? Steve Zeltzer? Candace Schott is present. Carol Woofley?
Present.
Carol Woofley is present. So we have 14 present, and do we want to move to excuse the absences?
Yeah. Is there a second?
Second.
If there's no objection, we'll excuse the absences. The absences are excused. Thank you. Thank you, Candace. Did you call, is Antonio here? Did you call Antonio?
Antonio, are you here?
And did you go back to Christina?
Yeah, Christina. I see her name there, I think.
I don't.
Her. Christina is in the meeting room. I mean, in the waiting room. Excuse me.
Oh.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah, she is. I see.
Now she's here. As is Joan. Oh, WBA.
I can't call names and admit people, too, so... I'm sorry. Let me go back to where we were. No. Christina, you're here? Christina,
yes, I'm here.
Thank you, Christina.
Sure.
And Steve Seltzer is here now.
Okay. Steve, do you want to... Is that you, Steve?
Yeah, I'm present.
Thank you. Steve is present. Steve Seltzer. So we have 16 present and 6 excused.
Virginia is here too. I couldn't get in.
Okay. Virginia Browning is present. Emma Auer, are you here?
Emma's coming later.
Okay. And
here's Antonio. He You can go ahead and call Antonio. Candace, please.
Antonio, you're here? Antonio,
yes.
Antonio Ortiz?
Yes,
thank you.
Good. Thank you, everyone. We'll go on to, and we do have quorum. And so the agenda for this meeting is by Robert's Rules of Order template. Four items have been added to new business and one item to the executive session. So, and now we will review the minutes. Was there let me just ask, was there anything else to be added to new business? Hearing none, we'll now go on to, is there anything?
I have a question. What items were added to new business? You didn't say exactly what they were.
The four items that were posted in the agenda, two were from Stan Woods, two from Cheryl Davila, and one for executive session from Virginia.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Now we will go on to the minutes. Are there any additions to the minutes from the March meeting?
I have a point of information. I was muted a moment ago.
What's your point of information?
I only now, just this minute, clicked on the link for the agenda at kpftx.org, and what I find is the message not found. The requested URL not found on this server.
Can I just explain something on that? I have tried all week to post the agenda on there, but they're having problems. And I asked Otis to post it today, and he posted it, and I saw it there, but I don't know what happened now. So,
is it on the KPFA website?
Yes, on the KPFTX.
No, KPFA, because if we can't get it on KPFA,
I don't know how that happens. So,
Anthony, you're welcome to go and check on that. It was up on the KPFA website earlier when I checked.
Well,
it's under information.
The agenda, or just the meeting, the posted meeting?
I'm looking right now at the KPFA website. It's a local station board, and Zoom link provided in draft agenda posted on kpftx.org. But that's useless if that website's not working. And I don't see the agenda or the Zoom link.
The Zoom link was there earlier today. That's all I can say to you.
Oh, my God.
So,
information.
I want to just go ahead, Steve. I think you have a point of order. Point of information is a question.
Well, I have two. One, my hand's still up from the beginning when you wanted us to raise our hands. Do you want us to lower them?
You can lower them.
I can't tell if these are new hands or old hands. Mine's an old hand. And everyone received an email from the secretary with the agenda. So this is dilatory.
And also, I'm looking at KPFTX right now, and I'm seeing the Zoom link in the little box that says info, if any. And I'm seeing the PDF agenda there. I don't know if you can open it or not.
I'll go back to that page in a moment, but I would note that our meeting information ought to be accessible to people who aren't LSB members.
Well, I posted it, and there is a problem with KPFTX. It's not me. At least this time, anyway.
Oh, yeah, I realize there's something wrong with that site.
Point of information.
I want to go ahead with the meeting, unless I hear a motion to cancel the meeting. I think we'll go ahead. It was posted. There are problems on KPFTX, and people have been notified.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the manager is here, Antonio. Maybe he could say whether or not he plans to post these meetings on the KPFA website, because that's where most people are going.
Your point is off the agenda right now. We're going ahead. Let's go ahead with the next part of Did anybody have any corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. And we will now go into the reports from the general manager and Jose. And Lauren is going to join us around 7:10. So we're going to have to juggle maybe questions and everything. And the election, so we're going to be juggling the time a little bit today because Lauren from the news department is going to join us. People are ill in the news department. Okay. Go ahead, Antonio. Thank you. And
hi, Carol. And hi, everyone on the board. I'm going to go through my stuff pretty quickly because I have interim program director Jose Gonzalez here to do his presentation or report to the board. And then at around 7 o'clock, 7:05, depending on how long it takes for Lauren to finish up the 6 o'clock news and then get connected, the news director will join us. And so let me go to that page. Give me a second here. So some things that I wanted to give an update on for those of you, well, for the birthday drive. So we had a 1-day birthday drive on Wednesday, April 15th. The goal was $30,000 to raise. The station raised about $23,911 for that 1-day drive. You know, kudos to the staff for making that 1-day birthday drive. We didn't reach the goal, but it was successful to raise funds for that birthday. And that was to celebrate our 77th birthday. Some things that have happened for those who don't know, and for those who attended, it was great to see you there. We did a screening of the 2000 documentary, KPFA on the Air, that happened at the Alameda Theater and Cineplex. That was on Saturday, April 18th. And then following that, we had a little birthday celebration at the California Historical Radio Society Museum, in Alameda as well, about a couple blocks away. We had about 200 participants to the screening, a mixture of staff, volunteers, listeners, and some board members were there helping out with outreach. Another event that we did, not really necessarily related to KPFA's birthday, but Amy Goodman has been making rounds with a documentary about her called Steal This Story. And we did an event over at the Rialto Elmwood Theater in Berkeley. That was the following day on Sunday, April 19th. Brian Edwards Secret, of host of KPFA's On Front, introduced the movie, the screening. And then afterwards, Kamau Bell interviewed Amy Goodman. And so that was offered as a thank you gift during the 1-day birthday drive on the 15th. That was pretty popular because, before we even got to the birthday drive on Wednesday, people had already been donating for that thank you gift, a week in advance. Oh, one other thing I want to go back a little bit. For the 77th birthday party and screening, there was a panel discussion that was produced by Vilma V of Women's Magazine. She brought three guests. One was Christina Anastad of the 6 p.m. News, Morning Sargali of Bay Native Circle, who also does fill-in hosting for Upfront and some other shows at KPFA, and also a music programmer by the name of Ms. April of The Gospel Experience that airs on Saturdays from 6 to 9 a.m. And that panel discussion was a wonderful panel discussion to talk about what was going on for this at the station since 2000, also just talking about their experience being at KPFA. Unfortunately, it wasn't recorded. And so, you know, next time in the future, that'll be something that I think we would love to record. An upcoming final birthday event. I know that our birthday is in April, but in March we had one birthday event that was a salsa event. And then this month we're having one final birthday event. It's going to be the John Santos Sextet. They're going to be playing at the La Peña Cultural Center. The producers of that show are Joanna Manqueros and Tafik Halabi of Music of the World, which airs on Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So it's going to be this coming Saturday, May 23rd. Doors open at 7 o'clock. The concert starts at 8 o'clock. That's going to be with the John Santos Sextet. So if anyone here is interested in going, go to KPFA's websites to get tickets. It's also being offered as a thank you gift for anyone who makes a donation to the station during the spring drive, which is happening right now. And then going to the spring drive, it started on May 4th. It's going to end this coming Friday, May 22nd. The goal for the spring drive is $450,000. As of today at 6:15, I just checked our station admin, which is our CRM at KPFA. The pledged amount was a bit over $273,000, which is about 60% of the goal. So we just need to get $177,000 to reach the $450,000 goal by this Friday, keeping our fingers crossed that we could do that. And the last thing that I want to tell you all about before I pass it off to Jose Gonzalez is that the station is going through some mold remediation work at the moment. So far, there's been 8 rooms in the building that have been remediated. There's a few more that need to be done. We need to go through some testing to make sure that all of those rooms are clear. And then there's going to be more work that's going to be done in those rooms to get them back to where they were before we had to start remediation. So at some point in the near future, you're probably going to be hearing on the air. Also, there's going to be a plea to you all as board members who are, tasked with helping raise funds for the station to help us raise some funds to get the station back to where it was. Well, get the walls all fixed, new walls, a new paint job, all that stuff that we need in the building. So that's briefly and quickly my time, because I know that we have limited time. And then I am going to pass it on to Jose, our interim program director.
Hi, all. Hope you can hear me all right. Thank you for the time today. I see and recognize some familiar names, some familiar faces, but really it's great seeing all of you. And if I'm meeting you for the first time today, my name is Jose Gonzalez, and I've been with KPFA since 2020, right before the pandemic lockdown happened. And so I wanted to give you all an update on what I've been focusing on as interim program director and where I think we're headed and or can be headed. I originally wrote a much lengthier piece of what I'm about to say, but was reminded that we only have so much time. So believe it or not, this is abridged. A lot of what I've been working on really since I started as an intern in 2020 has been centered around strengthening KPFA, really in whatever capacity I can, but definitely sonically, digitally, and organizationally, while thinking long-term about how we can, how we present ourselves to both current listeners and future audiences. My guiding principle, the KPFA should sound, act, and present itself like a radio station across every platform we touch. I know it sounds obvious, but at a place like KPFA, where we have resources are limited, we wear multiple hats, it's easy to lose focus on some of the foundational things. And so I ground myself. We are a radio station, and that includes the on-air sound, the website, our app, social media, how we look to the public, right? Our front-facing presence. We already have incredible programming and incredible people. My focus is on championing that content, making it easier to discover, easier to engage with, and hopefully more cohesive. That means improving our sound, strengthening workflows, supporting our programmers, modernizing our digital presence, and trying to position the station away from operating in a reactionary way. Lately, we've had some organizational changes. Teresa Wierzbianska, who was producing Law and Disorder, has been moved into a broader support role, working alongside me to help with programming coordination, production support, and station-wide projects. I've also been working really closely with our music director, Michael McKenna, to strengthen the music department, making sure we're all on the same page. The goal is more structure, more consistency, and more support to our programmers. Speaking of music, I happen to believe that our music offerings are like no other. They're genuinely amazing and unique, but they do deserve stronger visibility and a more cohesive presentation. The phrase I keep coming back to, right? It's like when 8 p.m. hits, when the weekend hits, people should know that you're listening to KPFA music. And that's going to take, more consistency, stronger transitions, better promotion, a brand, right? A recognizable atmosphere, that you know, when, that you recognize when you tune in. In terms of our digital presence, the website, the app, et cetera, the website redesign has been a major focus for us. I wanted dedicated spaces for both news, the news department, and music, right? The two really important pillars for the station. And the goal is a site that feels intentional, inviting, easy to navigate, and that encourages discovery. We do have an app, and although I've decided to not fully promote it until I feel like it's as clean as possible, right, more streamlined and more consistent with the website, the app is really meant to achieve a couple of things. Listen live, discover and explore our programs, and stay up to date with KPFA and its happenings. It does a lot more than that. People can listen live, sign up for our newsletter, view the event calendar, watch videos from our YouTube collection, and even record and leave audio or video messages directly through the app. So in tandem with the launch of the revamped website, I would like to properly promote and push our app. I'm currently in the process of passing along design information to the app folks so that they can update the look of it, mirroring the revamped website. Keeping that revamped website in mind, I've been on a campaign to make sure program pages are updated ahead of the launch, that information is up to date, bios, etc. One of my main goals, however, since I got the KPFA, is trying to get everyone on board with filling out episode descriptions, so that it reflects the quality of their shows. People know what they're in store for. I think episode descriptions are a must. What good is it to have such a rich archive if one can't navigate it, all right? Several shows have already began doing this consistently, and it's going to make a difference. On the visual side, when I stepped in, about 29 of our 79 shows had logos or dedicated artwork. Since then, around 35 more have logos or artwork have been created, submitted, and adopted. Visual identity plays a huge role in how people recognize and discover mm-hmm. programs online. Supporting our programmers, paid and volunteer, is really important to me, and I really would like to implement more regular check-ins with the unpaid staff, similar to the monthly meetings we have with paid programmers. Everyone needs to feel like they're part of KPFA and that they're on the same page, that they know what's going on. On the promo side, I'm constantly asking, what does the audience need to know? What do they want to hear? And how do we make the station sound active, current, and alive? And so I've been working on a bunch of promos. I do the majority of the promos. I've also been working on improving our newsletter and social media presence, new templates for our newsletter, more cohesive messaging, posting regularly, daily on social media is essential to maintaining a presence, and since I've taken over social media, we have definitely seen an increase in engagement and followers. The goal to keep KPFA visible and reach new audiences. And I'm coming close to an end here. There's been new programming. We've worked together with the news department, Lauren in particular, and brought The Stakes that debuted last week, our new election program that airs Thursdays at 10 a.m. Up until the midterm elections. If it proves successful, perhaps it can be a seasonal program that covers elections. But I just want us to be responsive to the major national issues and what the audience would like to hear. I've also been thinking deeply about spoken word and storytelling, especially after losing Jack Foley. And I've been reaching out to a bunch of poetry and spoken word outfits to see how we can create a pipeline of that work so that we can feature more poetry on the air. What it all comes down to, right? I want KPFA to be more cohesive, more discoverable, more proactive, while preserving what makes KPFA irreplaceable: community connection, independent journalism, music discovery, and cultural depth. It also comes down to capacity and resources. We need your help. All of us need to figure out other streams of revenue other than our fund drives. We are discussing relaunching an internship program, and I really believe that once people understand what KPFA stands for, there will be folks just like me who decide they want to stick around and help move this place forward. Again, thank you for your time.
May I ask a question?
had my hand up first.
I don't know, Carol, are you facilitating the questions before Lauren joins? Or do you want me to?
Carol?
I'm sorry, I was muted. Sorry. So what I would like to do is to go ahead and take a few questions until Lauren comes. And please, if you have a question, please write it in the chat to Candace.
The chat's not available.
Okay, if you are unable to write it in the chat, because other members have written things in the chat. It
says it's unavailable, Carol.
Please, if you have a point of order, just hold on a minute. Let's figure it out. Okay. Let's see. Antonio, can you try and write in the chat? And Jose, can you try and write in the chat?
Carol, it says it's the same.
So, Rod, can you enable the chat, please? For everybody to write to be able to chat to Candace.
Candace does not show up on my screen.
On your chat screen?
Just the host.
And co-host.
Oh, there, Candace.
We could be asking our questions verbally.
Oh, I see how it's working. You just go click on new chat, hit Candace, and then put in your message.
Thank you. Can you say that again?
I'd like to note that it looks like Emma Auer has joined the meeting. Is that you, Emma?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you.
Good. Okay, let's take a moment to work this through. Antonio, can you explain that again to people?
So all you have to do is click on new chat under the chat window. And then what you'll do is you'll select Candace. And then you should be able to send a message to Candace.
Good. All right, Candace, are there any people, any comments in the chat so far?
Not yet. Not that I see. It said my
I'm not able bar. To do that, man.
Okay, if you're...
The chat is disabled. I mean, I can't... It says chat disabled. That's what it says on my screen. Chat is disabled.
Mine also. So I'm going to ask my question. Can you...
Please stop just a second. Please email Candace at her secretary email address if you're not able to write it in the chat. And the reason we're doing
it... I'm not able to do that either.
Okay, so if anybody has anybody, Christina, okay. Was anybody able to write into the chat?
I am only able to chat Antonio, Carol, KPFA Zoom Tech. Oh, I see. There's Candace shot. I see. Okay. If you go to the chat and then at the top, it says everyone and then it says new chat and a plus sign. You should be able to do it. And then you have to scroll down and it says Candace shot, like all one word.
I wrote a message. It's Virginia. Mine's there.
I was able to write to the chat. This is Carlos.
Okay. I'm going to ask everybody, instead of calling out, please raise your hands. And Michael is going to... So Michael will call, let me know if somebody has their hand raised that I'm not seeing. But
I'm not seeing
now we'll go ahead and start reading
I'll just start with what I have here first. Cheryl, I'm sorry I don't see yours yet.
I'm not able to send an email or get in the
Well, let
chat.
Me do these first while you're trying to figure it out, and then we'll come back.
I'm not able to.
Okay, period. Cheryl, I'm going to ask you, please, this is a warning, please just wait a minute and we will work this out. Go ahead. And Candace, go ahead and start reading.
So I have a comment from Virginia Browning. I appreciate your excellent points, Jose. I love most of your promos. Not sure if I missed you trying to get hosts' shows to be able to post brief descriptions of shows for archives. Excellent. Thank you. And from Nunu, my chat works. And Carlos testing the chat.
Okay, so we are.
Oh, look, Steve. Steve is testing also.
Okay.
All right, shall I read the people with hand raised?
Oh, and I have one from Sherry Gendelman, who is the host of the new election show.
It's Teresa Weirs-Bianska as well as Scott Baba.
Yeah.
Scott Baba is currently works for the news. And Teresa Weirs-Bianska has been all around the station.
Thank you, Jose. Next question, please.
I don't see any others.
Okay. Does anyone with your hand raised have a point of order?
I have a question.
I had my hand raised. Somebody keeps taking it down, it looks like. I was first to hand raised.
Do you have a point of order or a point of information? Cheryl.
Point of order is that, you know, everybody's not able to do things the way you wish they could do them in this meeting. And I feel like we should be able to raise our hand, have our voices heard, and ask the question, because people need to hear us and we are elected and they need to hear what we have to say and hear our questions.
Thank you, Cheryl.
So may I ask my questions, please?
No, I'm going to hear the other points of order. Go ahead, Steve Zeltzer.
I want to question the manager. I have some questions. I mean, what is the problem with asking questions of the manager?
We have had problems, and the board voted that we will be now doing. By a majority vote, the board voted that we would be taking our questions in a written form. And so that was a majority vote. And if you please go to your email, or you may text. So does anybody else have any other questions?
I do. I'm typing it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Although we really shouldn't go through all this rigmarole.
Well, I think this is the first time, and people are all getting used to technology. So I think, you know, using the chat or email is.
I now have a question from Cheryl. Sorry, Carol. Why are so many of the same shows repeated?
Antonio, do you want to answer, or and Jose?
I guess the clarifying question is, what shows are repeated? I'm talking about
Amy Goodman.
Oh, Amy Goodman. Well, for the Amy Goodman,
not the ones I'm concerned about. Actually,
I'm going to stop the discussion just a second. And Cheryl, please write into the chat the question.
She did.
Which shows?
Oh.
Let's try and everybody learn how to do this, to write in the chat. I really want to thank Cheryl for stretching into that. Thank Anthony.
Isn't the chat disabled?
No.
It is disabled in my screen. It is disabled. It says chat is disabled.
Steve, I know you're up. How about send an email to Candace, Steve?
Shall I go forward with Fred's question while we're waiting for Cheryl to?
Go ahead.
So from Fred Dodsworth, how are you working with the other stations, terrestrial as well as affiliates, to raise membership at KPFA and all across the network?
Antonio or Jose?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that one more time, Candace? I got distracted with something.
Sorry. How are you working with the other stations, terrestrial as well as affiliates, to raise membership at KPFA and all across the network?
Well, I can't answer about raising membership per se, but collaborating and connecting with the other sister stations, we've been doing that consistently. Ursula Rudenberg, sorry, of the Affiliates Network had reached out to me about doing a collaboration for the news and have and kind of working on bringing back a Pacifica News team. And this was happening about 2 or 3 years ago. When I talked to her, I said, you know, at this moment, we still have to do a lot of work, internal work on restructuring, reorganizing. And at that moment, I could not make any promises with her that we would be able to do this. But until we got Lauren Schmidt, who is now our news director, involved, we are now in the process of meeting once a week with the other news teams, one from WPFW and then also from WBAI. The KPFK general manager is involved in those meetings as well, and also the Pacifica ED is also involved in those meetings that we have once a week. And through those meetings, we've had special broadcasts that were done collaboratively. KPFA didn't necessarily take the lead on all those broadcasts, but we've been doing that with our sister stations to build camaraderie, to work on special broadcasts together, and that's been happening for the past few months. And I'll just say kudos to Lauren, who's been very active in those meetings with me as well. And I've been seeing a lot of positive changes, things starting to work in ways that it hadn't in the past. So I'm really excited about that. Other things that I've been doing that I can
Antonio, just because of our limited time, Lauren's now here. So I'm wondering if it would be okay for us to go ahead. And
can we just finish with Cheryl's question? Since she's so diligently tried doing this.
Go ahead. What do you want to read those?
So the shows she's talking about, Brian Edward Tiegert's show is repeated twice. Time seems like Caucasian men's shows are repeated. Why not Kat's show or POC's shows? Why hasn't Antonio looked into this per my...
I'm going to stop that. Because that's why hasn't Antonio is getting into a personal... personality. So we're going to go ahead with Lauren.
I asked this question last time and he said he would look into it with the,
Cheryl, this is a warning. Please do not interrupt. We're going on to the report. Please do not interrupt. This is a warning. Go ahead, Lauren.
Hi, folks. Thank you so much for being on the board and participating in this meeting. Apologize for being a little late. We were on the air up until 7 and trying to compel folks to become members. It's almost been a year since I've joined KPFA to serve as your news director. I first, I think, presented to you all in July. And at that time, I outlined several first-year priorities, which included improving newsroom coordination, updating press credentials and trainings, strengthening the internship program, expanding emergency preparedness, building affiliate relationships, and pursuing new funding options. And I'm proud to report that we've made substantial progress in all of those areas. And in many cases, I think I kind of exceeded my own goals. So I'm really proud about that. Internally, I think one of the biggest accomplishments has been modernizing some of our newsroom operations. At KPFA, we have Christopher Martinez, Max Pringle, Christina Onestad, and myself as staff. And then, of course, amazing interns and a local news fellow. And two of the employees are working remotely, and it's sort of started to notice we needed to improve some workflows and communications. And so now our 4-person newsroom team is able to work more efficiently, both remotely and in person, using more of a cloud-based system for file sharing. strengthening coordination across departments, working closer with Jose here, engineering, and Antonio and other station leadership. And I think having these operational improvements has helped us to respond more quickly to breaking news and manage the increasingly complex coverage demands with the limited staffing. I always describe us as a very scrappy newsroom. Another milestone, updating our KPFA press credentials. Our credentials had been outdated for a very long time, and now they reflect more modern field reporting standards. And have also developed along with that a Know Your Rights guide on the back and training that we require of all of our reporters before going into the field with their new press badge. We have relationships with the First Amendment Coalition and other organizations to make sure we're staying up to date on all of our rights, because if you don't use them, you lose them. On the funding side, KPFA News was awarded a $20,000 grant from the Society of Professional Journalists for a special initiative to build coalitions and improve our digital infrastructure and help to train new blossoming journalists like this newsroom has done since its inception, and sharing with other partner stations to build a more accessible onboarding internship system. I think this weekend was sort of a really great accidental pilot. We got to reach out to an LPFM, a low power station that is a Pacifica affiliate in Montgomery, Alabama, and ask them if they're going to be at the big mobilization, All Roads Lead to the South protest. They sure were. And she filed a story for us, and that was really great. And I want to see more of that. We also actually had a story from a WBAI reporter too. So that was very exciting. In addition, KPFA News was selected for the first cohort of the Public Media Company's Local News Catalyst Strategic Planning Program. That is a mouthful. That initiative is helping to give us guidance for more sustainable planning and operational development, as well as a list of potential major donors, of course, ensuring that whoever donates to us is in line with their ethos. In the youth and youth work development side, KPFA was selected as a City of Berkeley Youth Works summer work site. So in just about a month, on June 22nd, we'll host paid interns through August 8th as part of the Youth Works program centered on equity and workforce development for underserved youth. And this opportunity is really great to help us rethink our broader internship and training infrastructure. We're coordinating with another KPFA volunteer and other staff to really develop concise workshops and training opportunities that, you know, at this time are offered to the interns, but then will help to build that infrastructure and structure to offer to the community at large. We also plan to apply to the Youth Works Incubator Worksite Grants, which could also help with $25,000 through 2028 to expand curriculum development and mentorship. Emergency preparedness is something really near and dear to me. If you talk to me long enough, you'll know. But KPFA, we've sort of done a soft launch of our emergency response team, trying to meet monthly and just review emergency procedures, communications, and on-air response workflows. Interestingly enough, while I was my first week, I think, on the job, maybe first, second week, we had a tsunami warning for the Bay Area. And I called the engineer, and we rocked and rolled, and I was able to get the emeritus professor of geology at Cal Poly Humboldt live on the air. She was from the Bay Area and told everyone what they needed to know, and that everything was actually all good. So it served as a really great exercise, right? No news was good news in that sense. But really just trying to see how we can prepare both on and off the air. We're also an official partner with the National Weather Service Bay Area. They've given me access to their emergency communication Slack channel. So instead of, you know, media having to reach out, all these things, it's in one area. So that's really great. In addition, I had an opportunity to participate with the Alameda County Beacon Exercise, which was executed in line with emergency responders, hospitals, nonprofits, and other auxiliary communications team. I'm a ham radio operator because I'm a nerd. And KPFA was actually the only community radio station participating in this exercise, which was huge. And I think a very important recognition of our role in more broader regional emergency communication efforts. We're also trying to continue strengthening relationships with our university partnerships and journalist development pipelines. KPFA, we participated in the UC Berkeley Media Mayhem, which, love that name, a networking event, and we're able to recruit about a half dozen interns who will be joining us this summer through that effort. We also have a local news fellow, thanks to the great work by Christina Onnestad, to get that set up for us. So Aneta Felix is currently reporting full-time for KPFA and is getting a full-time salary paid by the UC Berkeley School of Journalism. It's fantastic. And she's been able to contribute more local and enterprise stories regularly throughout the week. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, she's covering local news. We're trying to send her out into the field and really cover the stories that matter to our immediate community. And then on the other days of the week, we also see a need for more investigative and long-form journalism. So that's what she's focusing on those other days.
Thank you, Lauren. Oh, we're going to have to wrap it up. Do you have just a last comment that?
Yes. So I, if you can believe it, there's so much more, and I have it in the report that should be attached to this board packet and agenda. And I really, again, want to thank you all for your work, and I'm excited to take any questions or field any concerns you might have.
Yeah, and please stay on for a couple minutes. We have some representatives from community organizations in case you'd like to hear from them. And I'd like to welcome the people who are here. And let's start with Aaron Raven. Is it Raven? Did I say it right?
Raven. That's close enough.
Okay. Thanks, Aaron. Go ahead. From NoCoal Oakland.
Yes, I'm a... I've been an activist with No Coal in Oakland for 10 years, and I just wanted to give you an update on the lay of the land right now, because that's still a controversy and still a battle that we are having to wage. So just to brief any of you who maybe are not familiar with this issue, but we learned in April of 2015, so about 11 years ago, that Utah was colluding with local developer Phil Tagami to ship coal through all the way from Utah to the Port of Oakland, to the Western Gateway, which is city-owned property. And City Council originally did something very naive and not excluding coal as a possible commodity. And Phil Tagami was deceptive in his public assurances that no, he had no interest in shipping coal, but it turns out he did. That he got outed by a Utah news, a newspaper in Utah. And for the succeeding 10 years, we've been battling him both legislatively and in the courts to block that coal export terminal. Well, after 10 years of litigation, due to some bad luck and some bad decisions, Tagami actually prevailed in the sense that he now has a new option to start off, to resume where he left off in trying to get a coal export terminal. We, however, there's certainly ways that we are strategizing to defeat and prevent such a terminal from being built and operated. And one of those is by shifting the focus of our political action from city council to more regionally. And very recently, we are shifting our focus to the Bay Area Air District with the intention of their regulation of pollution being stringent enough that it will make a coal export terminal just not economic, not profitable. So that's the current strategy. And it's worth pointing out that this change in strategy allows us and KPFA, in a sense, to regionalize this issue a little bit more. For years, we have focused on Oakland City Council because they had legislative power to block a coal export terminal. Well, that got defeated in court, and so now we're going more regional with our focus to the Bay Area Air District. But the coal threat applies to the whole region. West Oakland would get the worst of it if coal train, mile-long coal trains, which are of necessity not covered, spewing out very toxic coal dust all along their pathway. But ironically, we need to revive our understanding that we have coal trains running right now, but they stop in Richmond because, you know, the Bay Area segment of that rail line is from Martinez to Richmond. And those coal trains spew so much coal dust that they were the focus of a recent scientific study that now is part of our ammunition to fight this terminal, that demonstrated, that tested and documented that there's a tremendous amount of very toxic coal dust that leaks off of those open coal trains that now stop in Richmond. And amazingly, when those same coal cars return from Richmond back to Utah, they still have enough coal left in their compartments that they're still spewing coal dust on their return journey. Okay. So this is an amazing scandal, really. And how tragically ironic it would be if Richmond will succeed, it's supposed to be this year, in ending those coal trains coming to the Richmond terminal, only to have a year or two break before trains go the same route, but go even further south, polluting all those communities along the shoreline from Richmond to Oakland. So it'll just be an expansion of the coal pollution. So we are very much focused right now on the Bay Area Air District, and we will be developing other strategies. This coal export terminal will never exist. It will never operate if we have anything to do with it. So let me just mention our website address, where we have a very rich archive of information about this whole struggle from beginning to current, and that is nocoalinoakland.info. And as we sort of regionalize the campaign to block the terminal, KPFA is all the more relevant as a news outfit to cover this issue.
Thank you, Aaron. And I want to introduce the next person is Amanda Royal from Earth Hope. Amanda, go ahead, please, and unmute yourself. Thank you for coming.
Hi, Carol. Thanks for having me. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine.
Hi. I am writing on Substack, a Substack publication called Earth Hope. We're read in 80 countries and 49 states, but I live here in Berkeley, and I have done a few events here in Berkeley. I'm a former reporter for the Associated Press and several newspapers. But I just kind of launched this project on my own because I felt that there isn't enough coverage of the solutions in the environment space. So if you check out, it's, I can't share my screen, can I? It's
If you ask, go ahead. Yeah, you have to request.
I'll just put it in the chat, earthhope.substack.com. I do end up writing about a lot of California issues. I just recently wrote about the snowy plovers that are recovering enough in California, Nevada, Washington, and Oregon to they've reached a milestone of recovery to 3,000 mating birds or adult birds. And this is really important because San Francisco's Crissy Field was actually the restoration of that. resulted in meadows and dune habitat that the snowy plovers really loved. I don't know if many people, I don't know if everyone here knows the story of this tiny bird that was kind of hunted for its plumage. And its habitat was destroyed, but it's actually on the rebound. So that's this positive story. And I focus on things like that. A lot of stories in California have to do with dam removal, salmon running, as you all know. I've written about the redwoods in Oakland, Oakland's Diamond District, and how the Friends of Sossel Creek are restoring that over several years. So I basically, I call it hope scrolling. And if you go to our site, you can see basically a ton of solutions that are working. I usually don't write about, ideas or carbon capture machines. It's all very much things that are already working, nature-based solutions, wetlands that have been restored, laws, lawsuits, volunteers, conservation organizations that are actually producing results. Is that all?
That's great. Thank you so much, Amanda.
Thank you.
And let's see, Candace, can you please share can you share what she wrote in the chat to everyone?
I see. Can I do it to everyone?
I will try.
Candace will do it. And can you just say it again, Amanda, please?
earthhope.substack.com.
Good.
Yeah. And I live right here between Cedar and Rose on Sacramento Street. I don't really usually publicize that I'm in Berkeley, but I'm happy to meet anyone here to chat about these issues and connect. You can message me via the Substack chat or at EarthHope. You're welcome to share my email, Carol, with anyone here who wants it, earthhope2023@gmail.com.
Thank you. I love your Substack. It's so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
A little hope. next, Andrew Lazarus from Invincible Elmwood.
Indivisible Elmwood. Thank you. Thank you. I guess we're going in alphabetical order by first name. Indivisible Elmwood is one of the many, many, many indivisible chapters that was founded after Trump defeated Clinton in 2016. And I'm sure you remember people were extremely shocked. And then, you know, the Indivisible Movement and Ezra Levin published this kind of guide to what we should be doing in our attempt to resist as much as possible. And so there were, Elmwood is the neighborhood I live in. And we invited our neighbors and our friends and we've basically been meeting ever since, although we were able to take it a little easier during the Biden parenthesis. So what do we do? We also are an affiliate of what was originally called Sister District and is now called States Win. So we would often be paired up with down ballot candidates from somewhere else. Okay, the down ballot elections here in the Bay Area are not usually very competitive, and even if they are competitive, they're usually between two candidates we would like and accept. So our first experience with this was actually getting paired with some candidates in Michigan running for the state assembly. And two of the candidates whom we helped, and we did flip the Michigan state assembly in the 2018 election, were Mallory McMorrow and Haley Stevens, who are actually now running against each other in the Democratic primary for the Michigan Senate. Then we've also worked in Virginia. We flipped in Virginia has these odd elections, literally odd. They're held in the odd years. So in 2023, we helped flip a seat in the Virginia Beach area of Virginia. And that was absolutely critical to the Democrats retaking the state legislature in Virginia. What do? We write postcards. Those who can tolerate phone banking do phone banking. We write letters with Vote Forward. We have raised money. We've done fundraising for a number of these campaigns. The nearest campaigns we've worked for were Josh Harder's first campaign in the Tracy area. That's no longer a competitive seat. That's a safe Democratic seat. On our list for this cycle is CA-22, although there are other people.
Andrew, there. So it's probably better not to get into specific candidates because we don't, we're not involved with political parties.
That's true. Okay. I'll just mention then that there were many, many such that we did. And we have a pretty good record, though it's not perfect. Then the other thing that people probably notice about us is with the horrible return of Trump 2.0, we had the idea to start having a weekly protest at College in Ashby. And I imagine many of you have driven by there. It's 5 to 6 every Friday. We have between 50 and 110 people coming, on any day except in the rain. And, we give out literally hundreds of flyers every week with QR codes for places like Indivisible, Run for Something. We Run for Something, you know, there are a lot of Cal students walking up and down College on Friday dinner time. And we go out of our way to encourage them to run for office, which is Run for Something's purpose. We frequently, if there's going to be a No Kings protest or anything like that, we'll redo the flyer so that it's got the QR code for No Kings. Every week we give out generally 500 or more of these in good weather. We ran it earlier during the winter because, frankly, it doesn't feel safe to do this after sundown. But at this time of year, you can start at 5 and you don't even have to finish quite at 6 if you're having a good time. So we've actually spawned another group that's doing the same thing. Wednesday is 5 to 6 at MLK and Russell. And we get a lot of people honking. We get ambulance drivers. We get AC Transit bus drivers, all of them showing some appreciation for the anti-Trump signs.
Thank you.
That's about it. Oh, indivisibleelmwood.org is our website. Good. All one long word, indivisibleelmwood.org.
Good. Thank you so much. Sure. Cheryl, did you have a point of order or a point of information? Your hand is up. Okay. I'm not hearing from go ahead, Cheryl.
We're not able to see the chat, and it would be good if you could put their contact, whatever they, their organization, website, and all that in the minutes so that we can make contact in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. So what I'd like to do now is to proceed. We have a couple minutes. We need to do the election to replace Richard Walensky, and who has been a member of this board for years and a major, major contributor to KPFA for many, many years. So Richard has resigned, and Candace sent out a letter with asking for nominations. And Darlene Pagano was nominated. Are there any other nominations for this staff seat? Please raise your hand if you have a nomination for staff seat. Stan, were you going to nominate someone?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, please.
I'd like to nominate Frank Sterling. Everybody knows Frank. He a former program, current program, not former program, former LSB member and a staff member and Native American activist, among other things. I think he'd be a good asset to the board. Renew. He's been on the past.
Can you say his last name for me?
Frank Sterling. S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G.
E-R, okay.
And Stan, I don't think Frank is here. Is that correct?
Not to my knowledge, no. I don't see him.
I do not see him here. So Darlene was also nominated. She did send a statement. Candace, did you want to read that?
Sure. I am Darlene Pagano. I have previously served on the LSB and the National Board. My KPFA station work is as an administrative assistant. I am particularly drawn to person-to-person efforts for KPFA, major donor relations in fund development, and public and on-site membership drives at community events to increase listenership and paid members. Needs assessment is a skill and tool that KPFA will be best served by if done widely and with regularity using deep listening and cultural competency so that management has a very clear understanding of the programming needed to make and keep KPFA a truly public and reliable listener-sponsored nonprofit community institution. I look forward to having such skills developed in LSB members. These tasks of the transitioned LSB focus on material support for KPFA and increased visibility and connection to the listeners, members, offering them an effective channel for their feedback.
Thanks, Candace. Stan, did you want to take a few, did you want to take another 30 seconds to talk about Frank?
Okay, Frank is, as you know, been on the board, previously. He's been a key player in KPFA, for some time now. He has his Native American oriented show on Fridays. He's also involved in many other things. Recently, he and his partner, Sarah Blanco, who also is a KPFA programmer, were in New Mexico for a National Native American Conference. He's very articulate and knowledgeable, and I think he'd be a good asset to the board. And I haven't received a response from him yet, but was able to send it out a couple of days ago, plus leave a voicemail, but he gets literally hundreds of emails, both from his activism and for other things. And so I would like a little more time to hear back from him, but I have very little doubt he would decline a nomination.
Do you want to text him, Stan?
I'll try to do that right now.
Okay. Candace, because this was we didn't have a lot of notice about this. So what I would like to do is to go ahead and add Frank's name to the ballot, please. Frank.
I have a question.
Let me finish talking before you go on. So please go ahead and add Frank Sterling's name to the ballot.
I did.
Are there any other nominations?
Point of order.
What's your point?
Cheryl Davila and Steve Zeltzer's hands are up.
Thank you. Okay. Cheryl, did you have another nomination?
No, I want to... I support Frank Sterling's nomination, so I wanted to
Cheryl,
say that.
Cheryl, there's no more time for motivation of that. Stan had that time. Go ahead. So unless somebody has another nomination, we will.
I have a question. Were the staff members informed that there was going to be election for staff representative?
No.
Well, how would they know that there's even a nomination if they're not informed?
Okay,
did the notice put up at the station so they can.
Please wait a minute. I will explain. People on this board nominate. So the announcement went out to all board members at the last, after the last meeting. And so we asked for nominations. Stan brought a nomination. Darlene, Christina nominated Darlene. So we will go ahead with the OPA vote because people on this board are the ones who elect the replacements. Go ahead, Candace. You've added Stan.
You've added
Frank Sterling.
Frank Sterling. Okay. What's your point, Cheryl?
If the staff aren't notified, how would they know to ask someone to nominate them, which sometimes occurs? So I think it's a valid point to tell the staff so that if they're interested, they can be nominated.
The way it works, Cheryl, is that this board invites people from the staff to run. People on this board nominate. So we're going to go ahead with the election. And
I just clarify my point. My point is
no,
that if the
please staff stop, Cheryl. Please stop. Okay, we're gonna go ahead with the election at this time, unless there are any other nominations.
Okay. Excuse me. May I say something, please? It's a point of order.
No, it is not. It's a point,
Cheryl, I have asked you to stop. Your point of order is not well taken. That about the form of the election. So we're going to go ahead.
Another point. So if I'm in this meeting and if I can't
I have given you several warnings about please do not yell back at me. Please, we do need to go into the next part of the meeting and we need to close out this part of the meeting. So what we're going to do right now is thank you to everyone who has come, who is not on the board. We are going to go into an executive session right now. So the open part of the meeting is over. And I want to thank everybody and especially thank our guests and especially thank our managers. And thank you for coming and we'll be in touch.
Yeah, thanks for the censorship, y'all. Great, great democracy, y'all. Really great.
Point of order. I have a point of order. Hello.
We're going to take a break for a moment while we.
I have a point of order.
We are on a break right now.
I have a point of order. Kindly recognize me. I move to extend the meeting to allow time for actual public comment. There are members of the public here. Some want to speak.
Your point of order is not well taken.
It
we will
is
go
well
forward.
Taken.
Okay, Anthony, if you continue.
I challenge the ruling of the chair.
Excellent.
Okay. I second.
Take a roll call vote.
And my original motion to extend time for genuine public comment. Invited guests are wonderful, but they're not public comment.
Point of order is not well taken.
He's challenged the ruling of the chair. Let's just go to
vote. Please. Okay, go to a vote.
Does the secretary manage the vote?
Anthony, if you continue to speak without being recognized, you will be removed from the meeting. Go ahead, Candace.
Emma Auer?
I want to clarify what you're voting on. If you are, if you would like the meeting to continue as in the agenda, based on the vote to have invite community members to public comments and to have that be our public comments time, if you are in agreement with that, please vote yes. If you disagree and do not wish to uphold the ruling of the chair, please vote no. Go ahead.
Information, Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
It was already, the agenda has already been adopted. There's a time certain or before for the executive session. So the actual motion is out of order.
Thank you.
Will someone say when the vote on the agenda was took place? I don't recall that we actually voted on the agenda.
We did not.
Without objection.
That is not... Okay, we are going to go to a very fast vote. Go ahead. Everyone who
would... Can you explain what the vote is again?
Uphold the ruling of the chair, please raise your hand. If you uphold the ruling of the chair, please raise your hand.
I ask for a voice vote. That's permissible under Robert's rules. Roll call, please.
Okay, I am seeing, my hand is raised, Allegra Thompson. Read that.
Can we have a voice vote so people know how and, you know, who's voting for what?
We do not have time. We are time certain into executive session. Okay, go ahead and take the vote. Candace, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 voting in support of the motion.
11. I see 11.
Oh, I don't think Anthony is voting in support of it, but.
Well, I don't know. His hand's raised.
Okay. I'm going to count that as 10. And if you're opposed to this motion, please raise your hand.
Okay. Opposed to, sorry. I'm a little confused what you mean.
Three.
You mean opposed to which motion?
If you are opposed to the ruling of the chair.
Oh, yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The motion fails.
Steve had his hand up. He couldn't raise his hand.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Steve, do you wish to vote no?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
All right. Yeah, six. I'm the motion fails. We are now going into executive session.